Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. We are back this time to talk about headaches and who needs the imaging, as well as what type of imaging is best for these types of patients. We see headaches all the time in emergency medicine and across other types of practices. The question becomes, how do we best manage these patients? Do they need the imaging? What type of imaging? And fortunately, the American College of Radiology updated their 2014 guidelines to a newer set of guidelines, which you can find through links that we've included in the show notes. While headaches are common, most of the cases are benign and idiopathic. They will resolve spontaneously or with minor therapeutic measures. However, there are important exceptions, and we will cover those in this podcast. As always, check out podcast number 187 to see some additional details, such as some graphics. The main types of headaches where we want to consider imaging are those that are severe or sudden in onset, have optic disc edema, red flags, which we'll talk about here momentarily, migraine or tension type in certain situations, trigeminal autonomic origin, and chronic headaches that have progressive symptoms. So what we are going to do is we're going to provide a rapid review and breakdown of the most recent guidelines. The first type is one that we think about all the time in emergency medicine, that thunderclap headache, the one that's very sudden and very severe in onset. Patients with this presentation require CT imaging of the head, or CTH, without contrast as the most common and appropriate measure of evaluation. CT arteriogram may be appropriate in certain circumstances, and the American College of Radiology recommends this primarily for cases where there are two or more first-degree family members with a history of subarachnoid hemorrhages. The Ottawa subarachnoid hemorrhage rule has been validated, and the SGIM has covered both the original study and the most recent validation. You should check that out when you get a chance. Again, the links are in the show notes. If you want to know what the Ottawa subarachnoid hemorrhage rule is, make sure to check out MDCalc where there's a breakdown, but essentially a patient requires investigation if they have one or more of the following findings: symptoms of neck pain or stiffness, age greater than 40 years of age, a witness loss of consciousness, onset during exertion, a thunderclap headache with a peak intensity being immediately, or limited flexion of the neck on exam. The next type that we're going to break down is a new headache with optic disc edema. Magnetic resonance imaging of the brain, or MRIB, with or without contrast, or a CTH without contrast is usually appropriate. In some cases, a CT of the head with contrast and a CT or MR venography may be appropriate. New or progressive headache with red flags is the next type we're going to talk about. What exactly are red flags? Well, red flags include subacute head trauma, related activity or event as the onset of symptoms such as sexual activity, exertion, or position, a new neurological deficit, known or suspected cancer, an immunocompromised or immunosuppressed patient, a patient who's currently pregnant, or a patient who's 50 years of age or older. Obtain a CT of the head without contrast or consider an MRI brain with or without contrast. Our next type that we're going to cover are new primary headaches with suspected trigeminal autonomic origin. This is usually a cluster headache. That is the most common type of headache that we'll see in this category. An MRI of the brain with contrast is recommended for further evaluation. What about chronic headaches? Well, chronic headaches with new features or progression, an MRI of the brain with or without contrast is appropriate. CT of the head with or without contrast may also be appropriate in certain circumstances. A newly diagnosed migraine or tension type headache with a normal neurological exam does not need imaging. MRI has been studied, and there's been no significant demonstrated benefit of performing an MRI or CT for that matter in these types of patients. Additionally, the chronic stable headaches with no neurological deficits do not need imaging. There have been a ton of studies regarding different types of imaging, such as CT and MRI, to see if this has any benefit. And again, it does not appear to have any. So as a quick recap, the different types of headaches that they broke down are thunderclap headaches, new headaches with optic disc edema, newer progressive headaches with red flags, new primary headache of suspected trigeminal autonomic origin, chronic headache with new features or progression, newly diagnosed migraine or tension type headaches with normal neurological exams, and chronic stable headaches with no neurological deficit. Make sure to check out, again, podcast number 187, the podcast we're covering now, to see a breakdown as well as get access to the article that we're covering today. This is one that I find will be helpful for my clinical practice just because I believe that with all these patients we see, this will give me a better idea of when it is appropriate to image these patients versus when it is not. And the Choosing Wisely campaign has included both the chronic stable headache with no neurological deficit and the newly diagnosed migraine or tension type headache with normal neurological exam as not needing imaging based on the data to demonstrate any kind of benefit with doing imaging in these types of patients. I'd love to hear your feedback, though. Obviously, there's always going to be exceptions to the rule. There may be people who are listening to this who have some anecdote of when they found imaging as being potentially beneficial. But I think overall, most of us know that many times when we get CTs, particularly in the emergency department, of these headache patients that don't fit in one of these categories where imaging is needed, where it was most likely a waste of time, it really didn't find anything new. You may have noticed as of late that the podcasts have been running a little bit shorter. And the big reason why is because I have been staying so busy. It's been hard to do interviews, but I hope you are enjoying this style. I've been getting feedback that says that this still works for most people, but please let me know. And I'm always looking for more help as far as having people who want to publish or share content. Again, this is something that I do want to hear the feedback on. Do you like this style? Do you want me to keep going this way? Would you maybe prefer the longer podcast still? But these 10 to 15 minute podcasts are easy for me to do with my busy schedule, especially since I've been going around and teaching quite a bit as of late. As many of you know, part of that is because I do the teaching with Practical Pocus, which you can check out at practicalpocus.com. And we have been teaching rather frequently. I've been involved with teaching a couple of courses every month, and it has been great, but it has kept me very busy along with that and my full-time clinical shifts. But once again, if this is something that you like, I would like to hear about that. And if you prefer something different, please let me know too. If you want to be part of the team, the Total EM team, and want to share information just like we've had others come on, or maybe you have a very specific topic you want to discuss, then great. Let me know as well at thetotalem@gmail.com or go to the website totalem.org and contact me that way. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.